Coast and has not been adequately reported. One of the fundamental problems lies in the fact that people who own homes can't, like you said, can't afford to rebuild them.
Right.
The insurance in Mississippi, the insurance industry has made it plain that they're going to hang on to the.
This is the Quality News Network. A search is underway for an American and GI of Iraqi descent who disappeared yesterday and is believed to have been kidnapped in Baghdad. Officials have not identified him other than to say he is a U.S. Army translator. Two more American troops have died in Iraq, bringing the number of U.S. military killed there this month to at least 89. The Iraqi government has agreed to develop a timeline by the end of this year regarding the stabilization in Iraq. The top U.S. military commander there, General George Casey, says he believes Iraqi security forces can take control of the country within the next 12 to 18 months. With 2 weeks to go before the midterm elections here, a new Washington Post ABC poll shows that independent voters strongly favor Democrats on Iraq and by a margin of 76% to 21% prefer to see them take control of Congress. New York Republican Congressman Tom Reynolds testifies today before the House Ethics Committee on the Mark Foley case. Reynolds has stated publicly that he told House Speaker Dennis Hastert last spring about Foley's inappropriate emails to former congressional pages. Hastert says he didn't learn about them until several weeks ago. An AP photographer has been kidnapped in the Gaza Strip, four Palestinian gunmen grabbing him as he walked out of his apartment today. A spokesman for the Hamas-led Palestinian government is condemning the abduction. Despite an outcry from the UN and Lebanon, Israeli warplanes continue to conduct low-level flights over southern Lebanon on a daily basis. Hurricane Paul continues to weaken as it heads towards Baja California, where emergency workers are on standby to evacuate residents of Cabo San Lucas and San Jose del Cabo. Forecasters say Paul could make landfall on Mexico's west coast today, but its impact should be minimal. Word from China that North Korea is not planning to conduct a second nuclear test and is willing to return to six-party talks under certain conditions. While the UN continues to weigh sanctions against Iran, the head of the UN's Atomic Energy Agency says Tehran has taken another step towards being able to enrich uranium. Even so, he says, Iran is years away from having the ability to produce a nuclear weapon. Voting resumes tomorrow at the UN to fill a vacant seat on the Security Council. So far, after 35 ballots, Guatemala nor Venezuela has been able to obtain the necessary two-thirds majority. And firefighters in Des Moines, Iowa, have figured out who pulled a fire alarm at a local research center where a number of bonobo apes and orangutans are studied. Turns out it was one of the bonobos, a female named Pongonisha, marking the first time in history, Des Moines history at any rate, that an ape has sent off a fire alarm. Her handlers have said that she's been told not to do it again. This is the Quality News Network. Science and business news coming up next.
Tune in to the Quality News Network on election night to learn the results of perhaps the most important midterm elections in our nation's history. QNN will go beyond the scorecard reporting of the numbers. We will delve into the reasons why America voted the way we did and what it may mean for our future. Over the past 6 months, QNN has conducted over 250 interviews with candidates in the 2006 elections. All of the candidates are challengers for House, Senate, and gubernatorial seats from all parties from all 50 states. You can hear these interviews at QualityNewsNetwork.com. These are the people who have carried the banner of democracy during this vital election campaign, and they will be joining us on the air to talk about their races, why they won or lost, and what they learned about the process and the voters. So tune in to the Quality News Network on election night and learn where we are going from those who are going to lead us. Now back to the news.
Despite the fact that the U.S. is not part of the U.N.'s Kyoto Protocol regarding greenhouse emissions, U.S. officials are meeting today in Helsinki with the European Union to talk about climate change, clean energy, and sustainable development. A new study shows that although college tuition hikes slowed a bit this year, they still top inflation and financial aid is not keeping pace. The College Board's annual survey shows that tuition and fees at four-year public colleges are up 6.3% to $5,800 a year. Tuition and fees at four-year private colleges are up 5.9% to more than $22,000 a year. Former Enron CEO Jeffrey Skilling has been sentenced to 24 years in federal prison for his part in the collapse of the company. He's also been ordered to give back $50 million. Sony has recalled another 250,000 batteries used in its notebook laptop computers. Sony executives are now apologizing for what's become a worldwide recall of their batteries. Whirlpool's third quarter profits up 35% or $134 million. Whirlpool acquired Maytag earlier this year. Gold is trading this hour at $578.10 an ounce. Silver is at $11.43. And light sweet crude oil up a bit, up 15 cents a barrel, trading at $58.96. On Wall Street, all the markets are slightly down. Dow is down 19 at 12,098. NASDAQ is down 12 at 2343. And the S&P 500 is off 4 at 1373. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter, and it's now 5.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Thank you, Bob. That was a boss intro. I love that music, too. That's Sweet Home Chicago, and here I am in beautiful, lovely, wonderful Sweet Home Chicago, and I'm loving it here. We had a bit of a cold snap last night. I actually wound up putting on my hat. I haven't had to do that yet. Well, actually, a couple of times. We had a cold snap here earlier, and it's funny, when I got here in August... No, June, July, whatever. I got no remembrance for dates. I got no memory for dates. I got here in early July, and I was in Atlanta for 12 years, and the temperature never hit 100 once in Atlanta for 12 years. And I get up to here to Chicago, and sure enough, like the first week I'm here, the temperature is like over 100. And I'm like, what's going on? Where the heck am I? Am I in Chicago? And now, of course, we're getting the winter. And I love it. I'm looking forward to the winter. Everybody looking around here thinks I'm nuts, you know. It's like, are you kidding? We hate the damn winter. And I'm like, you know, I haven't had a good cold winter in ages. And I like, you know, not saying that I like being cold, but I like bundling up and getting out there. And you know, actually, I'm much more sensitive to the heat. And it's easier for me to get warmed up. How is everybody doing? My name is Joe Vecchio, and if you are dialing in, if you are listening and expecting to hear Dr. Bill, I'm very sorry, but Dr. Bill is actually filling in Bruce Birch's spot. Bruce is on temporary hiatus while he deals with some personal stuff, and Dr. Bill is filling him for him, so I am filling in for Dr. Bill this week. Normally my show is on Mondays and Fridays, and I really just got started back on the air last week. For those of you who don't know me, I am the voice of the working man's thinking man, and I've been doing this on and off for the last 2 or 3 years now, pre-recorded stuff. I was on Saturday nights on here at the beautiful, lovely Head-On Radio Network. Let's see. What's going on? We got a lot of stuff going on today, and again, to Dr. Bill fans, I'm sorry. You know, I love listening to the Quality News Network because they always come up with some really wonderful stories. And by the way, just the way they say light sweet crude, it almost makes it sound like it's a confection of some sort. You know, you go into a soda joint and I'll have a bottle of nice of a light sweet crude, please. And the guy says, yeah, that'll be $10 million and 2 major conflicts. Fork it over, buddy. Yeah, I know it's not what you ordered, but you know what? That's what you get. Light, sweet, crude. Waiter, I'll have some light, sweet, crude, please. Just put it in a bowl and give me a straw. I'll be happy. I love the story about the ape, too, the bonobo apes. So for those of you who aren't familiar with bonobo apes, I'm one of those guys that I look into a lot of different things. And I just pick up all these weird little factoids. And bonobo apes are actually among the more intelligent of the primate species. And what's interesting about them is that they settle all their conflicts, or mostly not through violence, but through sex. These apes are constantly having sex. I remember seeing a documentary about it, and the guys were like, "Wow, look at that!" And this was a Harvard-educated biologist. You know, "Wow, look at that! I didn't know they could do that. Look at that. Oh, boy. Look at that guy getting on top of there. Look at that. Man, I got to try that myself. Man's got 14 degrees, and he's going, oh, oh. His eyes are popping out. So I wonder what the Manawape was thinking she was doing when she was pulling off that fire alarm. And by the way, for the Bonobo apes, their societies, their matriarchal societies. The females are in charge and all that. I wish I could say the rest of the news was better. You know, they were asking me what topic I was going to talk about today, and to be perfectly honest, I don't always have a topic, and they didn't really necessarily mean that at the head-on that they require me to have one every single day, and I generally don't know what the heck I'm going to talk about until, like, you know, the half an hour or so before the show. I kind of like to be fresh. I remember reading Jackie Gleason was kind of like that. Jackie Gleason, the great, great comedian from the Honeymooners, apparently he didn't like to rehearse very much, and he liked to be a little fresh on stage, although they did catch him doing some secret rehearsing from time to time. But I'm kind of like that. I like to be fresh, and I like to see the news when it comes out as much as possible. And there was an article on DailyCoast.com that caught my eye, and I generally don't pay that much attention to what they write on Daily Coast, especially the community area, because the community area is bunch of cliquish thugs as far as I'm concerned. I mean, some of them are nice people, but, you know, you got to be careful what you say, because anything you write on there, you know, 10 people are going to find some excuse to dump on you for it to make them sound like they're more important. But the regular posts are generally pretty good, very newsworthy, and this is one by Trapper John, and apparently it's something going on in Virginia. It's from the Washington Post. Let me read this off. This is from the Washington Post article. It says, U.S. Senate candidate James Webb, who's the guy running against George Allen Makaka, the racist thug. James Webb's last name has been cut off on part of the electronic ballot used by voters in Alexandria Falls Church in Charlottesville because of a computer glitch that also affects other candidates' wrong names, city officials said yesterday. Election officials attribute the mistake to an increase in the type size on the ballot. Although the larger type is easier to read, it also unintentionally shortens the longer names on the summary page of the ballot. Thus, Democratic candidate Webb, and Webb's not such a long name, don't ask me, will appear with his first name and nickname only, or James H. Jim, on summary pages in Alexandria Falls Church and Charlottesville, the only jurisdictions in Virginia that use balloting machines manufactured by Hart InterCivic of Austin. Gee, you wonder what a coincidence that it only affects the Democrat and some of the other ones. Why does it affect Senator Allen? I mean, Senator George Makaka Allen. Felix, that's his middle name. Felix. George F. Allen. He's not getting affected. But no, the other guy's getting affected, right? You know, I'm going to keep harping on this until Election Day, dude. These guys are pulling out every stop. I can't say that this is intentional or not, but, you know, it's like I said, what a coinkydink. And, you just got to figure out in your head what these guys are going to try to do more. Already we got Ohio, Ken Blackwell, and this is, again, this is just ridiculous that we allow this to happen. He's the Secretary of State, which means he's responsible for counting all the votes, and he's running for governor. And he's digging around to find some sort of stupid technicality to disqualify his Democratic opponent, who is leading him by a huge margin. And, you know, why do we allow this? I mean, when he was running the show in Ohio in 2004, Blackwell was the Secretary of State. This is the guy who's responsible for counting the votes. Keep that in mind. He's the person responsible for counting the votes. And he was, what's going on here? Sorry about that. I'm having a little computer problem. He was intentionally trying to screw over the Democratic candidate. And he was the Bush's campaign manager. That's what I was trying to say. I knew it was going to slip in there somewhere. My mind is kind of like that little game where you have the ball, you try to get it in the hole, and sometimes you just got to get it right at the right angle. You got to pound my head so the ball falls in the hole in the right spot. But no, he was Bush's campaign guy in Ohio, and he was in charge of counting the votes. Does anybody see anything wrong with that? It's a screwed up world. Oh, hey, before I forget, let me give you the phone number to call in if you want to call in. It's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. And it looks like, yeah, give me a call. It looks like we're heading off to the first break here. It sure goes by pretty quickly. Go ahead and give me a call, 1-877-443-2366. There's other news items I'm going to talk about. A lot of stuff going on. We'll be back in about 5 minutes or so.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
The Native American Journalists Association is calling out to tomorrow's reporters, photographers, editors, and publishers to represent Native perspectives.
Today's agreement allows the Nebraska State Patrol and Winnebago Tribal Police to share enforcement.
The tribe is taking its concerns to the Bureau of Reclamation, which manages and
Native American inmates have filed suit against the prison.
Go to NAJA.com to learn more about membership and benefits. NAJA, raising the next generation of storytellers.
Here is the truth the oil companies won't tell you. Half the foreign oil they import to California is from the Middle East. As a result, California is dangerously dependent on foreign oil. Prop 87 means more alternative fuels and wind and solar power. And that means less oil dependence. Prop 87 is the one thing Californians can do now to clean up the air, help stop the climate crisis, and free us from foreign oil. The sooner we do it, the safer we'll be.
Okay, we're back here on the Cup of Joe radio show. Sorry about that. Hit a wrong button on the computer and went wacko. Can't be doing that. Hang on, I got to wait for this program to load so I can close it. Yeah, you get those things, the little things at the bottom, which is I prefer to use it, and I was just trying to get there. We go. Now we're clear again. And now my mouse is acting up again. What in the heck is going on with this? What is wrong here? There you go. Oh, my goodness. Everything's happening at once. I'm sorry about all that, folks. professional radio, ladies and gentlemen, as we try to get our sights set on stuff. Okay, everything seems to be in proper order. What the heck was I talking about? Oh, yeah, Makaka, Senator Makaka down at down in Virginia. And having his name fully on the ballot while his opponent, James Webb, is having his name, what's the word, truncated. He's going to, instead of James Webb, he's going to be James H. Jim on the ballot, which, you know, and, you know, the Republicans will say, well, if you're too stupid to figure it out on the ballot, you shouldn't be voted in the first place. Because, you know, that senator guy was right when he talks about them macacas, if you know what I'm talking about. Caca's right. Yeah, boy. And there's, you know, and there's another thing, and there's something I've noticed too. There were some articles about Joe Lieberman apparently is angry that Ned Lamont is bringing up the fact that almost $400,000 of petty cash, quote unquote, went disappearing from Lieberman's campaign funds in the weeks before the primary. That's a lot of money, people. You know how much Ned Lamont has in petty cash? $500. And there's some question about, you know, where that went to. And the thing about it is, it's not so much that it went away, but it's all undocumented. It all just kind of disappeared. And you're supposed to, you know, that's the law. You're supposed to keep these things documented. And apparently Joe was not happy with the fact that this news is getting around. And he went up to, let me see if I can find the post on that. He went up to Mr. Lamont. And he said, this is from FireDogLake.com. Said, evidently, after the most recent debate, Lieberman walked up to Mr. Lamont and said, you damn son of a bitch, or something to that effect. And something like, how dare you run those direct mail pieces accusing me of voting for the energy bill in 2005 because of campaign contributions from the oil companies. Now, Digby raises a good point. And, you know, Joe is also mad about the money thing, too, and he's been flip-flopping like crazy on that issue. But you know, it's Republicans gone wild, people. And Digby raises a good point. He asks, I wonder what it would be like if he ever turned some of that on a Republican. Even when they stole the presidency right out from under him, he couldn't have been more gracious. I mean, when he debated Dick Cheney, you would have thought they were a couple old friends spending the afternoon shooting the breeze at the old fishing hole. A Democrat criticizes his record and he turns into a rabid dog, unquote from Digby. And he's absolutely right. And what I don't understand is what goes on in his mindset when he's doing stuff like this. What is with him? And he's always been kind of a smarmy guy. I mean, I remember the debates against Cheney, too. And I remember specifically the sequence where Joe Lieberman talked about the big retirement package that Cheney got from Halliburton, although technically I'm sure Cheney isn't really retired. You know, he's probably going to go back right back there as soon as he's finished with this little gig that he's got now running the dark empire. But, dang it, I hate it when I lose my train of thought like that, and it always happens to me. It's been happening to me a lot lately. It's what happens when I don't get enough sleep. Actually, in this case, I got a little too much sleep last night. I'm still trying to wake it up. But no. Yeah, that's right. Cheney, you know, Joe Lieberman said, well, you know, I'm sure Americans would love to get the kind of retirement package you got. And Cheney, you know, snarled back, well, it had nothing to do with the government. Well, of course, it had everything to do with the government. Dick Cheney never made a penny in his life, I don't believe. At the very least, he hasn't made very much that didn't come directly or indirectly from the government. He was what? He was a congressman? I think he was a congressman or a senator, and he was Secretary of Defense. And now he's vice president. And when he was in between all that stuff, he was working for Halliburton, which gets its money from government contracts. So nearly every cent that Cheney's ever made in his life, most of it anyway, came from the government. Because, you know, the Republicans love to spew this anti-government stuff. The government never does anything good, and nobody ever gets anything worth from the government except for those who don't earn it, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, you know, these are people who make their entire living from the government. And what really angered me was that Lieberman, and I saw this, and Lieberman didn't even challenge him on it. He's like, oh, okay, Dick. Sounds good to me. Ho, 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 hey. Oh, here is a turbo. Actually, that's really not Lieberman. Lieberman's more like, I'm such a nice person. Why would anyone? What Bill Clinton did was totally immoral, but it's perfectly all right for us to declare war on the Iraqis because the Iraqis are dangerous to us. And aren't I such a moral person? Don't you want to vote for me because I'm so moral? You know, Joe, go screw. I hate phony bastards. There's nothing more that I hate than people who are just phony. You ever see, like not all salespersons, but a lot of salespeople. And not, I'm not talking about, like, legitimate salespeople, like people, you know, selling, you know, things in stores and stuff like that. I'm talking about people who are trying to sell you something that's obviously a scam. Like, I used to go out for these jobs that advertised themselves as managerial positions, and it turned out to be selling, you know, some crappy shampoo to your friends and stuff like that. And the people who run those places, and they usually set up shop in some sleazy hotel room somewhere, and they go and they say, well, hi, how are you? It's so nice to see you. And I could spot that in a second. And I'm usually polite enough, you know, in person, because I'm not a very confrontational person. People who know me know that I don't really dig getting into big, long fights with people, although there are some people that you should be getting into fights with. And I look at that and I think, oh, my God. And I kind of had a feeling about Lieberman when I first kind of saw him, but I thought, well, you know something, you know, I still would rather have Al Gore as president than George Bush. And I thought, you know, in hindsight, it was a mistake for Gore to have picked Lieberman. He should have picked somebody. You know, maybe he could have picked Edwards or somebody back then, even though Edwards was still a little bit young. But he was trying, you know, he was trying to do what a lot of Democrats were trying to do, trying to say, okay, well, if I try to, you know, out-moralize the Republicans, I'll hopefully get some of those votes. And the truth of the matter is it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't work that way. Because, you know, the Republicans see bipartisanship as date rape, and they look at it the other way. They think you're being weak when you're being nice like that, so they just attack you harder. There's no point in it. And Paul Krugman, in his article on Monday, which was a great article, and I talked about Frank Rich's article, Paul Krugman talked about how if Democrats grab power, they should try not to be nice. They should try to go all out and do investigations and start impeachment, not necessarily start impeachment proceedings, although they really should do that. There's no reason for it. I mean, I'm a person who likes to cooperate, who likes to make the sort of compromises. I mean, that's what politicians have to do. You have to make the compromises sometimes in order to get things done. Because, you know, in politics, you can't always get what you want, no matter how much power you have. I mean, even the Republican Party, as powerful as it is, hasn't been able to get everything it wants from the system that we currently have. That's why they're trying to change the system. You know, George Bush, with whatever executive order or signing statements or whatever, just basically saying, I'm above the law. I'm the president. It's a time of war. Never mind the fact that it's a war that I declared that may be illegal. But, you know, I'm going to use my power. I am the unitary executive. And so, you know, we have cases of Republicans worried now that they're going to lose that power. And the question is, what happens when they do lose it? If they do lose it. And I'm still in the camp that they're going to hang on to their seat. Seats. Position. Wake up, Joe. Am I on? Testing. I'm sorry, I'm multitasking here. I'm trying to do a couple of things at once, and unfortunately, I have to stay focused on something, because when I'm not focused on something, I lose my train of thought. And that's what's happening. And it's one thing that when that happens in the privacy of your own home, but when you're on the air talking to you know, billions of people like I am right now. Because, you know, there are billions of people listening to this show. Just billions. Okay, I'm exaggerating just a little bit. Hundreds of millions. But anyway, it's that's funny. You know, that's one of the things I didn't like about the South that much. Because a lot of times when people were friendly, it was kind of a phony friendliness. And you can tell that there was almost something in the background there, as if they were just waiting for you to say something that they could be offended by. Because I think they enjoy being offended down there. And I think they rather enjoy, you know, pretending to be more moral than everybody. Because you know something? I've got news for you. You're not. You know, people talk about all the racism issues and stuff like that. You know, racism is just as bad anywhere in the country. It's bad here in Chicago. It's bad in New York. You know, the Southerners make a whole thing out of it. Macaca. George Macaca. We got to go. Back at the bottom of the hour. Give me a call. 1-877-443-2366. Tell me what's on your mind. And I'll tell you what's on mine, which is probably nothing. Here's a Cup of Joe radio show for the Head On Radio Network. We'll be back in a few.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
To the day when you can live in freedom, and America and Iran can be good friends and close partners in the cause of peace.
See, this is where we get a really bad reputation. I live in a country where I'm not even sure if my vote's going to count in November. How free are you? How free are the people on the Gulf Coast? How free are the families that still grieve for the bodies dragged out of Aracoma and Sago? How free are they? He throws around precious terms with precious little regard for them. How free are we that chose by a wide margin in the year 2000, November 2000, we chose a man named Al Gore to be the President of the United States? How free are we that we were saddled with this ignorant, ignorant, hateful little man? How free are we? How free?
I'm Bob Kincaid. Join me weeknights, 7 to 10 Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patty Peterson, and that's the familiar call for Donna Reed. And we'd like to invite you to this year's Donna Reed Festival. If you'd like to study acting from real professionals, then you'll want to join hundreds of other students from all over the country for workshops in the performing arts. I look forward to seeing you for a great week in Donna's hometown of Denison, Iowa. For more information, please dial 1-800-336-IOWA or visit our website, DonnaReed.org.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
we're back on the Cup of Joe radio show. I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man's thinking man, voice of the radical middle, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the number to call up is 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON, and we're here at the Head-On Radio Network. I hope everybody's doing well out there. Hang on, we just got to, let me see what this is real quick. Let me do something here real quick while we're waiting. I was talking about Joe Lieberman, among other things, and, you know, and just Republicans gone wild. There was another story that I saw on Daily Coast, and this is from Wyoming. Let's see. This is from Daily Marcos himself, and this is from what is the source? So the Tribune.com, I guess, in Wyoming, White Oak City in Wyoming. The verbal sparring between two candidates for Wyoming's lone U.S. House seat. And Wyoming has Wyoming has about 500,000 people in it. It is our least populated state, and it's, technically speaking, I guess, it is Dick Cheney's home state. But, you know, so they have, you know, they actually have less Congress people than they have senators. They have two senators and one congressman, right? Congressman or congresswoman. Whenever I say congressman, I always refer to the, both genders. You know, I know it's a generic term. At any rate, the verbal sparring between two candidates for Wyoming's lone U.S. House seat didn't end when the televised debate ended Sunday evening. Immediately after the lights and camera shutdown, incumbent U.S. Rep. Barbara Cuban walked over to Libertarian candidate Thomas Rankin, who had criticized her for receiving contributions from former House Speaker Tom DeLay. And apparently she said, if you weren't sitting in that chair and Mr. Rankin is handicapped, apparently, if you weren't sitting in that chair, I'd slap you across the face. And it's not, according to Coase, it's not a he-said-she-said situation. Cuban's camp has informed that she would have kicked Rankin's sorry ass if only if he wasn't disabled with multiple sclerosis and confined to his wheelchair. And his big sin? He misrepresented her and insulted her integrity during the debate. Sure, being accused of taking dirty money from Tom DeLay is definitely an insult, but is it a misrepresentation? Apparently, Ms. Cuban has taken $22,000 plus from Tom DeLay's PAC. It's a legitimate thing. And, you know, it's all part of the Republican, you know, Republicans gone wild. They know they're having trouble in this coming election, and they're just starting to lose it. Just like, you know, Joe, who is really a Republican anyway, you know, losing his temper at Ned Lamont. And you wonder to what extent they're going to go. You wonder how far that they're going to go. Because, you know, when you literally look at it, people who say, well, they wouldn't do that. Well, you know, the truth of the matter is they've killed hundreds of thousands of people in Iraq, going on 300 U.S. soldiers, and a couple more died today. And one was kidnapped, according to the Quality News Network. One was kidnapped, an Iraqi-American, who is apparently a translator. So, you know, the war continues to go on. And people continue to die. And all the Republicans care about is, you know, whether or not it's going to hurt their chances in the election. And people who think that way are willing to go to any lengths, to maintain their hold on power. Because, you know, if we had a legitimate press in this country, if we had legitimate law enforcement in this country, if we had a legitimate government in this country, and a legitimate opposition, then these guys would be facing jail time. Frankly, I'm to the point where I say just take the whole Republican Party, take every one of their leaders, all their senators, all their congressmen, Just throw them all in Gitmo and let them sit there and rot for a few years, just like they did to the other terrorists. Because you know something? Terrorism is what the Republican Party does. Keith Olbermann, who is people who are calling the next Edward R. Murrow, which I think is kind of a stretch, but I'm glad that he's speaking out. He pointed it out on one of his most recent shows. He said, the dictionary definition of the word terrorize is simple and not open to misinterpretation. To fill or overpower with terror, terrify, coerce by intimidation or fear. Note, please, that the words violence and death are missing from that definition. For the key to terrorism is not the act, but the fear of the act. That's why bin Laden and his deputies and his imitators are forever putting together videotape statements and releasing virtual infomercials with dire threats and heart-stopping warnings. But why is the Republican Party imitating them? Bin Laden puts out what amounts to a commercial of fear. The Republicans put out to what is unmistakably a commercial of fear. Doonesbury, in the last week, was doing a thing where the Bush administration pulled out its new campaign slogan for itself. Where President Roosevelt said, we had nothing to fear but fear itself. The Republicans say, we have nothing but fear. And I remember Bill Clinton talking about when he was running in 92. That this is a battle between fear and hope. And Senator Barack Obama, who everybody is already anointing as the next Democratic candidate for president. And I'm like, more on that later, perhaps, in the show. But, you know, he just wrote a book called The Audacity of Hope. Because, you know, there's a cynicism in today's country about whether or not just wishing for a better life is just kind of like, yeah, whatever. You know, like that's going to happen. All these little snarky people running around. Whenever you express a desire to like something or to work for something, a lot of people are like, whatever. Who's on American Idol, dude? Did you see that guy on American Idol? He was sick, so totally loser. Oh, what? There's people being tortured in Gitmo? That's grody. I don't want to know about it, dude. Do they still say grody? Good Lord, I'm regressing back to the 80s. But fear, that's all they have to run on. And there's no compunctions. I mean, you know, I'm sure the Republican person would have jumped on somebody with multiple sclerosis for daring to tell the truth. We're supposed to be all nice and goody, you know. And that's the thing about, you know, when I talked about Frank Rich's Sunday article. You know, he was making the point, saying, well, you know, the Republicans really screwed up, and so did the liberal press, so did the professional media. But you know what? It's the Democrats' fault for not fighting back. Well, you know something? Maybe he's right. You know, maybe the answer would be to use a little terrorism ourselves, just to become like the Republicans. Screw it. Maybe when they print out, you know, when they start just doing Republican talking points, instead of just complaining that it was true, why don't we just firebomb their buildings? Yeah, that's it. That's the ticket. Do we have to go to that extremes? I mean, I'm fighting to avoid stuff like that. And it's ridiculous. We're getting pantsed and we're getting blamed for it by the people who have the power to help prevent it. And there's not, you know, I get on chat rooms, and I, you know, when I see a troll in there, I don't always talk to the trolls. I usually just avoid it. But every now and then, I just get a wild hair up my ass, and I just go after them. Well, last guy, I got banned from a left wing chat room for asking a troll if they were diddling any boys lately. You diddle anybody lately? Get any 7-year-old peepees wangling around out there that you like to play with? Huh? And, of course, you know, the wingers don't know how to handle those true insults. They just kind of like, yeah, that's right, you son of a... I have to watch my my Brooklyn attitude there, because otherwise I'll say something on the air that I don't want to say or that I'm not allowed to say. You know, one guy was telling me, you know, that I don't, you know, that I should watch the curse. I said, listen, buddy, I'm from Brooklyn. We invented cursing. We invented cursing, okay? And I can't tell some of my better stories on the air because of that. I did when I had the pre-recorded show and I didn't have to worry. But, you know, that's okay. I understand that there are restrictions here, and I respect those restrictions. Mainly because I want to stay on the air. Oh, okay, I'm being told that son of a bitch is appropriate.
Son of a bitch. I can say son of a bitch. What do you know?
Oh, my goodness. What are we doing? We're coming up on the quarter of the hour here. Give me a call. I want to hear what you have to say about all this garbage. 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. Nobody calls me. Call me and talk to me, you slugs. Don't just sit there like a bunch of... What's wrong with you? Give me a call. Talk to me. I want to hear from you. 1-877-443-2366. This is Joe Vecchio on the Cup of Joe Radio Show, and we'll be back in a few minutes on the Head On Radio Network.
Listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 3/4. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here is some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark cfv.org for free loan Open Caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
we're back on the Cup of Joe radio show. I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man, voice of the radical middle, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the number to call in is 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And I want to lead you to a story here that Gene pointed out to. This is something, and it's from the New York Post, so I take everything that the New York Post says with a grain of salt, but I saw this. Let me read this out. This is apparently Warner Brothers has a movie coming out called Blood Diamond, and I guess it's about the diamond industry out in Africa. According to the news article, Warner Brothers stands accused of making empty promises to provide prosthetic limbs to orphaned African amputees and then reneging so that the studio's movie Blood Diamond could get extra publicity. During the filming of the movie, which stars Leonardo DiCaprio, Jennifer Connelly, and Digimon Hansu, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I'm probably not. Apologize. Producers shipped in 27 teenage and child amputees, victims of tribal warfare, from surrounding hospitals to appear as extras. In addition to paying the children day rates for their work, the producers, touched by the kids' tragic circumstances, promised to fit all of them with prosthetic limbs after shooting wrapped in June, but they're still waiting. Apparently what they want to wait for is December, when the movie comes out, so they can get more publicity for it. Now, again, this is from the New York Post, and you know, I take everything they write with a grain of salt, but if that's true, man, that's just awful. You know, and you read stuff like this, and you know, you wonder what's wrong with the world. You know, and the Post is 10 times worse, to be perfectly honest, because they help foment the stuff. I mean, they help make the world a place where this tribal warfare goes on to begin with, because, frankly, they don't care about anybody but themselves. You know, I keep listening to people, and I keep talking to people about the different stuff, and I always find people blaming the victims for stuff. You know, the immigration thing in this country, everybody blames the immigrants, and I'm like, are the immigrants the ones that set the policy? Are the immigrants the ones that make the law? These are people that are doing what they need to do to survive. I mean, that's it. And I had a post a little while ago in the Connecticut race with Lieberman and Lamont. The person who's getting mainly ignored is Alan Schlesinger, who is the official Republican candidate, although, you know, the Republicans are going to wind up, you know, voting for Lieberman anyway. But Schlesinger is trying to make a name for himself there, trying to get some publicity. During the debates, he just started railing against Lieberman and started to bring up his own conservative credentials. And this is a quote. Alan Schlesinger is the only one on this stage who has a tough policy. I want to build the walls. I want to make sure there's no road to residency. I am the son of a legal immigrant. There are people today who attempted to come here as legal immigrants and died. Now we've got people flooding into this nation for no other reason than they want a better life for themselves. Well, gee, Alan. Is there a better reason? Can you think of a better reason? Oh, yeah, I'm sure you could. Well, they're here so that they can work for cheap so that we can have companies make lots of money, and those big executives who earn those dollars can make lots of money. That's the only reason they should come over, right? And in the meantime, the so-called true conservatives are doing everything in their power to prevent a peaceful world. In other words, if you want to stop Mexican immigrants, the way to do that is to make Mexico a better country, is to help Mexico become a better country so that people wouldn't feel the need to move to America, at least not just for the reason that they want better work. Maybe they want to move because some of them will prefer a colder climate. Or they want to be closer to some other relatives that are in the States. You know, Spanish is the second language in this country. It really is. almost as many people speak Spanish as they speak English. I don't know if that's the case, but I'm sure it's fairly close. It is by far the number two language in the country. And I don't really object to it. I should learn more of it, I suppose, although I also say that, I'm sorry to say that, I think more people who speak Spanish should try to speak English, too. But that's besides the point. Why do you think your father, Mr. Schlesinger, came to this country? To make a better life, so that his son could one day grow up to run for congressman and perhaps be a congressman. Why else did he come there? Why else did my grandfather come here? From Agrigento, Sicily. To make a better life for himself and his family. So that his son, my father, could go out and get a decent job, even though he wasn't well educated, and earn enough money so that he could retire comfortably and buy a house. The American dream, to own your own home, to work hard and then enjoy the fruits of your labor, and to be free to live the life that you want to live. That's the reason people should come over here. That is the reason that people should come over here. And barring that, we ought to do everything we can to help people who want to do that in their own countries. If you want to solve the immigration problem, that's what you do. But, you know, you can't win elections easily that way, can you? Because people don't want complicated issues. They want to yell at you. Governor Cuomo of New York, Mario Cuomo, one of the most intelligent and knowledgeable civil servants we've ever had in this country. A guy who ran for president a couple of times, and really I think we would have been a good country if he had been elected president. But Governor Cuomo used to talk about the whole the drug issue and how you try to deal with that as a politician. And I don't want to do exact quotes because I don't remember exactly what he was saying, but I'll paraphrase. And what he was saying was that it costs X amount of money when you set up these drug laws where, you know, you get thrown into jail for smoking a joint or so. And you have these drug laws that require a minimum of time that you spend, even for minor infractions along those lines. And it costs so much to keep this person in prison. But it costs one-tenth of that to set up places where people like that could get, you know, if they want to get off drugs, that they can get off drugs. Or maybe, you know, in some cases, maybe the drugs ought to be just legalized outright, although he didn't say that. That's what I'm saying. But the point is, it's actually much more cost-effective to deal with the addiction as the problem, like the handing out the hypodermic needles. And what that does is it generally brings people out of the underground to places where eventually they could get treatment. And yes, not everybody's going to get cured, but you know you're going to help a lot more people. That's the way it worked well in other countries. You know, you stop making it an underground society, right? You bring it more out in the open. But, you know, as a politician, you can't do stuff like that, is what Governor Cuomo said, because then you get painted as being soft on crime. And you know what? The sad thing is that a lot of times the American public falls for it. And we like to think that this sort of idiocy is new to us, and it really isn't new to us. I mean, there's the famous old story about the politician years ago who accused, he accused his opponent and his wife of practicing celibacy before marriage. Now, of course, a lot of people don't know what celibacy is. And celibacy is, of course, not having sex. And, of course, the moral thing, at least as far as some people are concerned, is to not have sex before marriage. And then he accused the guy's sister of being a thespian. Well, yeah, she was a thespian. She was an actress. That's what a thespian is. But thespian sounds like lesbian. Thespian, can't have that. I like to test some people sometimes, and in the Army I got a couple of people mad at me because I said, are you a homo sapiens? Are you a homo sapiens, sir? And they're like, well, no, of course not. See, I thought so. Okay, granted, sometimes it's wrong to make someone for their lack of a decent vocabulary, but Homo sapiens is a term that everybody should really know. You know, I really think so. Thespian is kind of cutting it. Practicing celibacy before marriage, you know, and people fall for that stuff, and that's the sad thing. We don't want intelligent, rational ways of dealing with these with our problems. We want to paint the blame at somebody, and Republican politicians excel at this. Divide the country and side with the larger half, and they do a great job of it. We're coming to the top of the hour. We got news coming up. Give me a call, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. We're halfway through the Cup of Joe radio show, and we'll be back in a few here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. A search is underway for an American GI of Iraqi descent who disappeared yesterday and is believed to have been kidnapped in Baghdad. Officials have not identified him other than to say he is a U.S. Army translator. Two more troops have died in Iraq, bringing the number of U.S. military killed there this month to at least 89. The Iraqi government has agreed to develop a timeline by the end of the year regarding the stabilization of Iraq. The U.S. top military commander in the country, General George Casey, says he believes Iraqi security forces can take control of the country within the next 12 to 18 months. With 2 weeks to go before the midterm elections, a new Washington Post ABC poll shows that independents strongly favor Democrats on Iraq and by a margin of 76% to 21% prefer to see them take control of Congress. New York Republican Congressman Tom Reynolds testifies today before the House Ethics Committee on the Mark Foley case. Reynolds has stated publicly that he told House Speaker Dennis Hastert last spring about Foley's inappropriate emails to former congressional pages. Hastert says he didn't learn about them until several weeks ago. An Associated Press photographer has been kidnapped in the Gaza Strip for Palestinian gunmen grabbing him as he walked out of his apartment today. A spokesman for the Hamas-led Palestinian government is condemning the abduction. Despite an outcry from the UN and Lebanon, Israeli warplanes continue to conduct low-level flights over southern Lebanon. Hurricane Paul continues to weaken as it heads toward Baja California, where emergency workers are on standby to evacuate residents of Cabo San Lucas and San Jose del Cabo. Forecasters say Paul could make landfall on Mexico's west coast today, but its impact will be minimal. Word from China that North Korea is not planning to conduct a second nuclear test and is willing to return to six-party talks under certain conditions. While the UN continues to weigh sanctions against Iran, the head of the UN's Atomic Energy Agency says Tehran has taken another step towards being able to enrich uranium. Even so, he says, as do U.S. intelligence officials, Iran is years away from having the ability to produce a nuclear weapon. Voting resumes tomorrow at the UN to fill a vacant seat on the Security Council. This is the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
A new study shows that although college tuition hikes slowed a bit this year, they still top inflation and financial aid is not keeping pace. The College Board's annual survey shows that tuition and fees at four-year public colleges are up 6.3% to $5,800 a year. Tuition and fees at four-year private colleges are up 5.9% to more than $22,000 a year. Former Enron CEO Jeffrey Skilling has been sentenced to 24 years in federal prison for his part in the collapse of the company. He's also been ordered to give back $50 million. Sony has recalled another 250,000 batteries used in its notebook laptop computers. Sony execs are now apologizing for what's become a worldwide recall of their batteries. Google is opening its online index so other websites for free can build their own specialty search engines. DuPont reports third quarter revenue of $6.3 billion, mostly due to robust sales and a drop in fixed cost. Whirlpool's third quarter profits were up 35% or $134 million. Whirlpool acquired Maytag earlier this year. Light's weak crude oil at $59.32 a barrel. That's up 51 cents. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 4 points at 12,120. NASDAQ down 10. S&P 500 down 1. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis. It's now 5 minutes.
Welcome back to the Cup of Joe Radio Show, the show that asks the all-important question, hey, you gonna eat that? And now, back again for another hour of truth and fury, here's the man your bosses hate, the voice of the working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio.
Are we on? Is this thing on? Hello? Hello?
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head-On Network. Let me thank Bob Kincaid and let me thank Agnes Kincaid for all the hard work they do, and especially Agnes, who is the producer, and she does such a wonderful job out there for the Head-On Network. And, you know, we all work very hard here at the Head-On Radio Network, and we enjoy the work that we do. And it's not so much that we like doing it, and we do like doing it. We enjoy doing it. But when people ask me why I do this, why I do this radio show, why I write the blog, why I do anything that I do, I said I do it because I feel compelled to do it. Because I feel that it's necessary. Even if nobody listens. Even if nobody cares or seems to care. I have to find some outlet to make my voice heard. To let somebody out there know that what's going on in this country today does not represent what I think America is. On the Quality News Network, you heard those two companies making huge profits. Whirlpool and what was the other one? Whatever. Doesn't matter. Making huge profits. How much of that do you think their regular employees are going to get? And how much of that is because they're finding new and better ways of denying employees decent pay, or figuring out a way to steal their pensions? Because, you know, even as I speak, there's some pointy-headed little college kid who just got a good job with a corporation, who's out there right now, trying to figure out a way for a company to screw their employees out of their pensions. It's happening right this second, people. I don't need to be a seer to see that. But some guy with more mush in his head for brains that spent the bulk of his life listening to scumbags like, you know, Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly, who thinks that all that bluster is, you know, worth something and wants to make his mark on the world by stealing your pension. And if you don't think it's happening, or if you think it isn't happening, then you need to take another long look, because it's happening. And it's not so much that it's happening, because I bet you it's been happening since long before I came along. Even back in the days when the New Deal was ruling the roost, I'm sure it was happening, that there were some people who were trying to figure out these things. But the question is the power there to stop it? Because, you know, There's always been George Bushes of the world running around. There's always been the Dick Cheneys of the world running around. And the Saddam Husseins and the and all the other stuff. There's always been people like that. The question is, how do we deal with them? And how do we keep them out of power so that their little delusional fantasies remain by themselves? Oh, hey, yesterday we talked to a Sarge who said he was going to go down to the Gulf Coast and talk to some of the people down there who are really suffering the effects of some of the Bush administration's policies. And let's just go to the phone. We have Sarge with Ray down in the Gulfport, Mississippi. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Oh, it's okay. This is Sarge. Hello?
I think hey, Sarge.
Yeah, this is Sarge. How you doing? We're sitting here right on the coast at the old Biloxi Port Commission, and it's just like that. I talked to the fellow just now, and he was telling me he's come through the area, and he was looking for work, and he can't get hired. The casinos are open. They look nice.
No doubt. Yeah, that's a priority, right, getting the casinos in order.
Yeah, they are looking really nice. In fact, I'm looking at the Hard Rock sign right now, and it is a beautiful sign, and it looks like nothing's ever come through here. And just across the street, there's where a building was that's completely wiped out. There's nothing there. I don't even remember what it was. I think
it might have been some sort of homeless shelter, because, you know, those don't get that kind of priority. It's the Hard Rock Cafe.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it's just... we went by the VA hospital that was closed down by Bush, where it was for drug rehab and for mental disorders, and it is just a shell. There's nothing there. There's no work been done on it. We've seen a lot of houses down here that are still just sitting there. We talked to some people, and they said they had trouble with insurance, and they had minor damage. And if you can imagine having minor damage... and you're having trouble with your insurance, imagine what major damage you're going through.
I don't even have words for it, man. You know, and it just makes me so angry. And all these people who talk about capitalism is solving all of our problems. I mean, look at the priorities. Look at the friggin' priorities here. You got a hospital that's destroyed, and the friggin' Hard Rock Cafe and the casinos, they're the ones that get fixed up. What the hell is wrong with this country?
Let me tell you what I'm sitting at right now, looking at. Ray just pointed this out to me, and it's really, this is awesome. It's the Price of Freedom. This a thing right by one of the casinos down here. War Memorial thing, combat wounded, and it's just, you know, really an amazing thing. I tell you what, I'm going to let Ray tell you about this, okay? Hold on.
Okay, Joe, we're standing out here. We just happened to pull over here to talk with a gentleman who, says is out of work. We just happened to pull over at the monument for World War II veteran, Private First Class George J. Higginbottom. And it just happened that we happened to pull over here. But we just wanted to pass that on, let you guys know that this is the way it looks down here on the Gulf Coast.
And, sir, were you a voting Republican before all this happened? I'm just curious.
Who, me? Yeah. No, but I've got a Republican cousin.
And what does he think about all this?
Well, he's a Republican. He's a hardcore Republican. Well-to-do family and everything, so he doesn't really care.
Yeah, that's a damn shame.
That's the situation.
Have you lived in Mississippi all your life, sir? Have you lived in that area all your life?
No. This is Ray. I'm from Baton Rouge. I'm Sarge's tour guide. His webmaster at UNN.
I'm sorry. Say again.
I'm his webmaster for UNN, Unreported News Network.
Oh, okay. That's good. I like that. Unreported News Network. Was that UNN.com?
UNN.net.
UNN.net, okay.
No, hold on, Joe. It's unreportednews.net.
Unreportednews.net. That's a good site. Then I'll try to get that up as on my own site. Well, let me ask you something. You're from Baton Rouge, but you've been there for a while, right? You were there before the hurricane hit.
No. I live in Baton Rouge. I'm unemployed now. I'm a telecommunications technician. I'm working with Sarge.
Okay.
Just volunteer work until something, you know, pulls loose here. Sarge just asked me to get him a lift out here so we can do some interviews.
Well, let me ask, if everybody's unemployed, who has money to go to the Hard Rock Cafe and the casinos? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. I really wish I knew.
I mean, obviously the casinos are hiring, and the Hard Rock is probably hiring enough people, but I can't imagine they'd have
Hard
a ton of customers.
Hard Rock hasn't opened officially yet. They're still building.
It's just remarkable to me that these are the buildings that get the priority and not, you know, and not the hospitals and not the service centers where people can go to get help and get their lives back together again.
Yeah, there's right off of Bench Avenue here on Gulfport, there's a hospital that's basically a mobile ambulatory system, a MASH system, so to speak, and it's right there on the Gulf. And that's all they got for hospital right now.
Is the construction work on the casinos in the Hard Rock, is that union labor? Do you know?
I don't think there's union labor down here. It's all non-union.
Do they still shoot union people on site down in Mississippi?
Hold on. Let me let you talk to Sarge again. He's a Mississippi person. Just a sec.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was asking Sarge, do they still shoot union people on site down there?
I wouldn't doubt that there's no union work going on down here. Ray, there's a woman walking right down there. See if you can talk to her. I'm going to tell you something, man. I spent years in this area, and I'm odd. I can't tell you just how awful this thing is. I'm looking at a casino that's running up, it's up and running, they're making money, and then I turn and look in another direction and I see a house that nobody's done a thing with. It's destroyed, there's nothing going on the house. I see a car sitting in front of it now. It's just, you know, it's amazing. You can see the priorities.
And why, you know, and it's not getting out. I mean, nobody hears about this. I mean, it's not like there isn't enough bad news going on, you know, with what's happening in Iraq. And, you know, of course, with an election coming up, everybody's talking about stuff like that. And you know, this has been what? How long has it been since Katrina? Well over a year, right? So, and nothing's really happening August, down there.
It was August 29th, 2005. And, you know, I went through Camille, and I remember what this place looked like after Camille. I can tell you there is a world of difference. The recovery is just a joke. And being down here today and seeing this, I can see it is definitely a rich man's paradise. And I'd heard the talking points that I got a copy of them, and what I saw in those talking points is, you know, proven out to be true. They're getting rid of people down here. There's a real hard core money base. I think land grab is definitely going to be a priority in this area. It's just sickening.
Well, here's the thing I have to say about this, Sarge, and when it comes down to it, and I hope it doesn't ever come down to it, but when it comes right down to it, the good thing about all this is that when the revolution comes, we know where the money is.
Well, when the revolution comes, first thing I want is Tretlock. Bring his mind.
You can have him, man, but we'll storm the casinos and we'll take all the money. Listen, I got a quick question for you because, you know, you talked about the hospital units down there. What type of illnesses are going on down there, and can the mobile hospital treat these diseases?
I don't know. I would have to. I'll probably get more on that when I get into Jackson County because, truthfully, what we're seeing now has more recovery than they're getting in Jackson County. And the first thing I'm going to be able to do when I get into Jackson County is I'm going to have an interview with a family member who has this disease where the worms are coming out of her body and there's absolutely nothing they can do for her.
I've heard about that.
Well, I'm going to have an interview with a family member of them when I get into Jackson County.
So
I wasn't aware they had that in this country. I remember reading about that in like Indonesia or places like that. I wasn't aware that we had that in this country.
There's a few cases of it throughout the United States. It's not rare, but there's, you know, from what I understand, there is a connection to the Katrina and her case. I will verify that more later. On probably Guy's show or something. But, you know, we're going to try and give you guys a good report today, and we're going to have some interviews. We've got some lined up. But we wanted to call in and let you know we were here and give you a view of what we've found so far. We're going to have an interesting day.
Okay, well, listen, I'm really, really glad you called in, and if you can call in tomorrow, too, and just keep calling in the rest of the week, because this is stuff that needs to be heard, you know? And these are people who were generally Bush supporters before all this happened, and you hope to change some minds down there.
I tell you what, man, there's a call that was made last night on Bob's show. I urge everybody, go back and listen to it. This woman just gave one hell of a great report. And she was so accurate. And what I'm seeing today really verifies. In fact, what she said made it look nice. I'm going to be honest with you. She was nice about it. It's worse than what she described. It's heartbreaking, man. God, I'm not going to say anymore.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Joe. And we will.
Okay, listen, before you go, Agnes wants to talk to you, so hang on to the line, okay?
Sure.
We've got another phone call we got coming in, and we're gonna talk to Phil in Oklahoma City. But do not hang up, okay? Agnes wants to talk to you.
Okay, I'm hanging up.
Thanks a lot, Sarge. No, don't hang up. Talk to Agnes. Talk to Agnes. Okay, and we've got Phil from Oklahoma City on line one. Go ahead, Phil. You're on the air.
Hey, Joe. It's Phil Thompson. How you doing?
Hey, Phil, how are you? This is Phil Thompson, one of the regular readers and commenters on my blog and also with his own blog. What's your blog, Phil?
It's philthompson.blogspot.com.
Okay. How you doing there?
I'm great, man. I'm working when you're on the air, and I just wanted to call in since I had the opportunity.
Why aren't you listening while you're working? Why aren't you slacking off your job and listening to my show?
Yeah, you know how it goes sometimes, man. You know,
I understand.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess the one thing that you had touched on here was the fact that a lot of the folks down there were Bush supporters, and I would tend to agree with you what you're saying on your blog with the elections coming up. I seriously doubt that we're going to see a lot of change in administration as far as the Senate and the Congress go. I mean, what are your feelings about that?
Well, you know, and the sad thing is that if the Republicans do hang on and win, everybody else loses. Because, as is obvious from what we saw with Sarge and Ray down there in Mississippi, they really don't even care about their own supporters when it comes to, you know, when it comes to that sort of stuff. Because that's still a mess down there.
Exactly. And another interesting point, I was talking to a lady at work the other day, and she, you know, not a terribly politically active person, doesn't really follow politics, but I went into my usual diatribe against Bush, and she says, oh, well, I like him. And I said, well, you know, what about this? What about this? You know, and just going through a laundry list of the different, you know, just, you know, Katrina, Iraq, et cetera. And she said, well, I don't know about that. I just think he's a good old boy.
Well, that's who we got running the country right now is good old boys.
Yeah, exactly. The good old boys network.
And doesn't it say, and people get mad at me. Apparently I got someone mad at me, maybe because I was ragging on Southerners. And I do rag on Southerners. And I apologize to the many decent Southerners that are out there, because obviously Sarge is a Southerner, and Agnes and Bob are Southerners, and Bill Clinton is a Southerner, and Jimmy Carter is a Southerner, and these are all people I have a tremendous amount of respect for. But the truth of the matter is that the overwhelming majority of the leadership of the Republican Party are Southerners, and they are taking the Southern attitudes to a national level. You know, all the cronyism and corruption. Not that it doesn't go on in other parts of the country, mind you, but these guys have made an art form out of it.
Yeah.
And they're running the country like that. And it's really no surprise to me that the country is going to hell in a handbasket when you consider who's running it. And it's not just that it's Southerners running it, because we've had some excellent Southern people run things on a national level. I think Jimmy Carter doesn't get as much credit, for being a good president, although, you know, he obviously didn't know how to handle the tough politics like the Reagan people did. But I don't think he gets the kind of credit he deserves. And I don't think Bill Clinton gets the credit he deserves, even though he was hardly a true liberal in that sense. But so you don't think either, and do you feel for the same reasons that I do that it's not really going to change because of electoral process, or do you think it's just because people don't give a damn? Well, how do you feel about that?
No, I think people give a damn. I just think I would agree with what you've written on your blog. There's just so much gerrymandering and political districts, the way that a lot of the political districts have been redrawn and quite frankly, vote tampering as well. And I know you're a big supporter of bringing that paper ballot, and I agree with you totally there. You have a certain number of people that are always apathetic because I think the divisive nature of politics has just made them that way. You know, this is one reason why I really wish there was some type of a third party that there was the ability to have a real third party movement in this country, just so that we would have another choice.
Well, you know, the thing about it is that we have a political system right now that really works against a third party, especially when you're talking about the Electoral College. And I'm going to do at least a segment of the show one day about that, because I've been doing some research about that for a client. And it really amazes me. I mean, you look at Ross Perot, got even after he dropped out, he still got like 30% of the vote, which is remarkable. I mean, he dropped out and came back in, and he still got one-third of the voting public to vote for him. It just goes to show how dissatisfied people are with the two-party system. But even with 30 votes, he got exactly zero electoral votes. So it looked like nobody really cared about him. But 30% is pretty big. And in fact, people use that as a stick against Bill Clinton for years, because Clinton only got 43% of the vote, and he didn't get a majority. But he did get a plurality, which was enough. And of course, he got enough electoral votes. So, yeah, our system really works against that. What do you think needs to happen in this country for things to be a change? What do you think really needs to happen?
Well, some type of voting reform. I mean, I know in the state, I live in Oklahoma now, and when I lived in Kansas, the laws are really similar. When you register to vote, you actually have to declare a party affiliation. And if you're... like during the primaries, if you're a registered Democrat, you can only vote for a Democrat. If you're a registered Republican, you can only vote for a Republican. If you're registered,
well, I happen to agree with that myself, but that's another
is,
story. What happened? I used to live in Georgia, where they had open registration, where you can vote in whatever primary. And the problem that causes is that you have people who are Republicans crossing over to vote for Democrats. In the primaries, like, for example, what happened with Cynthia McKinney. Cynthia McKinney didn't get defeated by Democrats. She got defeated by Republicans who crossed over to vote for her primary opponent. And that's why I oppose open primaries. I think you should, if you're a Democrat, you should vote in for Democrats only. For Republicans, you should vote Republicans only in the primary.
Still, I know in Missouri, you don't have to, when you register to vote, you just, because I lived in Missouri for a while as well, when you register to vote, you just register,
Right. And, of course, once you vote in the general election, you vote for whoever you want. I mean, you can register as a Democrat and vote Republican, or the other way around if you want.
Of course. I just think real voting reform, that it will never happen. Unfortunately, it will never happen because the two major parties have a lock on the system, and so... When you have a lock on the system, you can make all of the rules. So,
well, don't say never, because I think things can be changed, but I think it's going to take some massive effort to change it, and maybe even an outside influence. Maybe if the other countries of the world get together and say, we're not going to put up with this, you're going to fix your stuff up, or we're going to do something. Who knows?
Yeah, that would be nice.
Maybe aliens will come down and enforce the rule. I don't know. It seems to me that that's the only kind of probabilities that we have.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm not, you know, and I get accused a lot of times of being a pessimist, and I know you do too. Excuse me, I know you do too. And I don't think that I'm a pessimist. I just, it's just, you have to realistically assess the situation, and unfortunately, the assessment that, you know, it's just not a rosy outlook right now.
No, it's not. But you know what? I still have confidence for the future. I just recognize that things still have to get worse before they get better. So,
right.
Listen, Phil, we're coming in on the bottom of the hour here, and we worked through a break to talk to Sergeant Ray down there in Mississippi.
Okay.
But we really do. We've got to pay the bills, and
I
want to thank you for calling up.
Sure.
And okay. Everybody, don't forget, Phil Thompson's blog is philthompson.blogspot.com. That's Thompson, right? Thompson.
That's right.
A lot of people... A lot of people misspell that. But philthompson.blogspot.com, one of the better little websites out there in the blogosphere. We got to go. It's the bottom of the hour. We'll be back with the last half hour here on the Head On Radio Network. Thanks for calling in, Phil and Dre and Sarge. We'll talk to you in a bit.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
We look to the day when you can live in freedom, and America and Iran can be good friends and close partners in the cause of peace.
See, this is where we get a really bad reputation. I live in a country where I'm not even sure if my vote's going to count in November. How free are you? How free are the people on the Gulf Coast? How free are the families that still grieve for the bodies dragged out of Aracoma and Sago? How free are they? He throws around precious terms with precious little regard for them. How free are we that chose by a wide margin in the year 2000, November 2000, we chose a man named Al Gore to be the President of the United States. How free are we that we were saddled with this ignorant, hateful little man? How free are we? How free?
I'm Bob Kincaid. Join me weeknights, 7 to 10 Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here is some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark cfv.org for free loan Open Caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
And we're back on the Cup of Joe radio show. Once again, every not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man's thinking man, voice of the radical middle, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. We've got a half an hour left. If you want to call in, the number is 1-877-443-2366, but you better hurry up, because we've only got a half an hour left of the show. Again, for those of you who have tuned in hoping to find Dr. Bill, Dr. Bill is taking Bruce Birch's spot, so I am taking Bruce's spot and all that. And that was a very revelatory, if that's the word, phone call from Sarge and Ray down there in the Mississippi Gulf Coast. They are down there all week, and they're going to be calling all the different shows to talk about what's been going on down there. That is to say, nothing, unless, of course, you're a casino or a Hard Rock Cafe. And I get so angry when I hear that. And when I hear some pointy-headed libertarian or some pointy-headed Republican, and, you know, someone pointed out a libertarian is just a Republican that smokes pot, okay, who wants pot legalized. Because to me, their economic policies are still all the same. You know, the open hand of economics, of Adam Smith. Oh, and I get so upset. And you look at the priorities of capitalism. Whenever these guys talk about, oh, how the wonders of capitalism and all this and that and capitalism can solve all problems, I point to this. Look at the priorities. Look at the priorities. Don't fix up people's homes. Don't fix up the hospitals. Don't fix up the things that people need to get on with their lives. No, fix up the damn casinos. Fix up the damn Hard Rock Cafe. Do you think they're spending their own money fixing that stuff up? I got news for you, pal. That's coming from your tax dollars. And all you moronic right-wingers, and you even more moronic libertarian types who scream bloody murder when your tax dollar goes to pay for $200 a month or $150 a month for some poor person to get friggin' food stamps, who say nothing when billions of your tax dollars, billions, go to building casinos and to making sure the Hard Rock Cafe, and how many people are employed by that Hard Rock Cafe? Mind you, what, a couple dozen at most? For your billions of taxpayer dollars? I don't need to talk statistics to you to tell you about this stuff, people. This is straightforward. This is right out where you can see it. There's where your Republican priorities are. Worshipping the almighty dollar. Never mind who you have to kill. Never mind whose lives you have to destroy. The most important thing in the world is show me the money. That's it. There is nothing else. Government of, by, and for the dollars. And if Katrina and the Gulf Coast isn't a perfect example of that, if what's going on in Iraq, where they're ladling billions of dollars at Halliburton and Bechtel and other subsidiaries of Halliburton, money that gets lost, and yet soldiers have to go out and their families have to go out and have yard sales to raise money so their sons and daughters can buy the body armor that they need to survive or to prevent getting their arms and legs blown off, because there's not enough armor in the vehicles or for themselves. Those are where their priorities are. Not with the soldiers who were fighting the battle. Not with the Iraqis whose lives they're theoretically trying to make better, even though they're far worse now than ever they were under Saddam Hussein. And I'm not saying they were pleasant under Saddam Hussein. And you don't have to be a defender of Saddam Hussein to see that what we've done there is just plain wrong. and all these pointy-headed little freaks in the punditocracy with more money than brains and who don't deserve a tenth of the money that they're getting and who don't really have an understanding of what's going on, or even worse, they do and they don't care. And you see what's going on and you just walk away from it. They were the ones who pushed for this damn thing. And the pointy-headed liberal types, whose attitude was basically, well, they did the right thing, but they did it the wrong way. Bull! Bull! It wasn't a right thing to begin with. It was a simple, stupid thing to do. It's immoral, it's illegal, and if it's brought down any country, it's brought down this one. And this country is going down because of it, and you know what? I welcome that, because we deserve a smack in the mouth. Because we have failed to heed the lessons of history. What made this nation great after World War II was not the military might that we used to oppose the Nazis and the Japanese Empire. No, what made this nation great was how we treated the Germans and the Japanese after the war. Yes, it was in our interest to do so. I'm not denying that there was a financial motive behind it. But so long as that financial motive also includes the fact that other people have a right to be financially secure and happy with their lives, I'm perfectly fine with that. Because it can be about being selfish, but it's about being selfish in a smart way and understanding that other people have needs too. Liberalism is a generous political ideology because we believe in helping everybody else and everybody else, even our enemies. I wrote a post some time ago where, a lot of times Americans are stupid, and I'll say it right out. You know, people who are still voting Republican, the 32%, the 35% who still support President Bush, they're just plain stupid. Delusion is part of being stupid as far as I'm concerned, because there's only so much you can take. You know, there's only a certain point you can get to where you can say, well, you know, this sounds like BS to me. And once you reach that point, you got to stop supporting somebody. But the difference between me and the Republicans is that they want you to be poor and ignorant morons. I want you to be happy and prosperous morons. Because there's nothing I can do about your level of intelligence. There's nothing I can do about that. I have no power to change that. But what I have the power to change is to make it so that when you do go to work, you earn enough money to support yourself, to pay your bills, to pay your rent, and have enough money to enjoy your life. And there's no honor. There's no honor in working your butt off for a company whose every intention is to rip you off. They steal your time, they steal your money, and then they turn around and they steal your pension. There's nothing honorable in working till you drop dead. There's nothing honorable in serving a company whose only interest is their own benefit and who have no responsibility or concern with the community at large. And that's why I rag on Walmart. Yes, they have a responsibility to their shareholders. I don't deny that. But they have placed that to such a high level that they have forgotten that they have a responsibility to their employers, to the employees, I should say, without whom they couldn't make a dime, which is why I tell anyone who's working at Walmart now, just quit. Just leave. Never mind just boycotting Walmart, which I also urge people to do. If you work there, quit. You don't have to give a reason. You don't have to give notice. Just leave. Find something else. But as long as you continue to support these companies and the politicians that serve their interests, your lives are only going to get worse. And if you're too stupid to realize that by now, there's nothing I can do to help you. The only thing I can do is to help build a world where even idiots can live a happy and prosperous life. Because that's what it's all about. You're not being good employees by blindly obeying what your company wants you to do. You're being a chump. And I want you to stop being chumps. But barring that, I at least want to know you to know that when you work hard and play by the rules, as President Clinton said, that you get ahead. And that's the way it should be. We got a break. If you want to call, it's your last chance. But we really, really, you know, at this point, really, it's not necessary. We've only got a few minutes left. We'll be back in a few minutes. This is Joe Vecchio on the Cup of Joe Show for the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Look to the day when you can live in freedom, and America and Iran can be good friends and close partners in the cause of peace.
See, this is where we get a really bad reputation. I live in a country where I'm not even sure if my vote's going to count in November. How free are you? How free are the people on the Gulf Coast? How free are the families that still grieve for the bodies dragged out of Aracoma and Sago? How free are they? He throws around precious terms with precious little regard for them. How free are we that chose by a wide margin in the year 2000, November 2000, we chose a man named Al Gore to be the President of the United States? How free are we that we were saddled with this ignorant, ignorant, hateful little man? How free are we? How free?
I'm Bob Kincaid. Join me weeknights, 7 to 10 Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
Okay, and we're back for the last 10 minutes or so here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. I'm your host, Joe Vecchio. It's kind of late to call in, don't we? We don't have anybody on the line anyway. We got We got about 10 minutes left. You know what? I apologize to everybody in the head-on chat room. I forgot to mention them today. It's headonradionetwork.com. Yeah, that's right. Headonradionetwork.com. What am I saying? And you can go there and click on the chat room link and go in there and talk to some of the smartest people out there on the internets. I love saying that, the internets. And when they come up with a new technology, of course, they'll make us pony up for that as well. And everyone, well, the old internets sucked, so we're going to have the new internets, which is going to be much better. Pay money! Pay me money! Show me the money! It's just like, you know, they got all the high-definition TVs now, and people are expected to pony up for that. And then, you know, of course, 10 years down the line, they'll come up with something else that we're going to have to buy. Otherwise, we won't be able to keep up with the Joneses. Someone said that they're going to be doing away with broadcast completely in the next 20 years or so, and I'm wondering if that's true. I have no idea. But, you know, we've had a tradition of broadcast stuff, and the thing about it is when you do stuff on cable, when people have paid for it already. And by the way, did you notice that even though that when they came out with cable TV, they still didn't get rid of the commercials? You're paying for something, and yet there's still commercials. Does anybody strike that as being odd? And I remember, I'm old enough to remember when movie theaters had little things when they were first coming out with the idea of cable TV, where the movie theaters were panicking because they were worried about, you know, that people would just stay home and watch movies on TV or whatever. They were actually having little commercials in the movie theaters campaigning against what they called it pay TV. I'm sorry, I'm just so pissed off. You know, the phone call from Sergeant Ray really got me worked up because it really, really angers me. And you know, it's so obvious where the priorities, not just of this administration, but of the corporatists who back them up are. I mean, and it's just incredible. And all these people, you know, all talk about the wonders of capitalism. You know what? I'm a capitalist. I like the good things that capitalism does. Don't get me wrong. Although, obviously, I think we get carried away. I mean, I'm in a situation now. I don't have a TV that's got a mute, so I actually wind up having to listen to commercials sometimes. And I love to watch, you know, sports on TV. And when you watch sports on TV, you see some of the dumbest commercials in the world. Because they're selling products to testosterone-laden men. All these stupid man law commercials. I'm sorry, they're just stupid, okay? It's for friggin' beer, all right? And they got the razor blades with five blades and, of course, a blade on the back for more precision. And they always make it sound like, you know, everything's new and improved, so everything before that was old and rotten, right? I remember Saturday Night Live made a joke about the blade stuff because they were starting to come out with two blades. And, well, we have five blades on ours, and, you know, the first one pulls the hair slightly out, and the third one rips your skin right off. And, you know, to me, I never understood why you sit there and say 47 different kinds of toothpaste are good, so we have to put up with all the wars and all the other nonsense that we put up with. So we can get 47 different types of toothpaste. Why can't we have the 47 types of toothpaste and still pay people a decent wage and promote a decent lifestyle around the world? And I really believe in this country, when the Democrats get their act together, they really have to think bigger than just the country. Because I'll tell you what the problem with the New Deal was, is that it didn't go far enough. Because all the stuff they talked about was stuff for the American worker. But you can't have that if what the American worker does is tied into what the Vietnamese worker does and the Chinese worker does. Because if a company has a choice between going to America and having to put up with the inconvenience of paying people a decent wage and insurance, and there's other ways we can deal with the health insurance issue too, and, you know, the taxes and the regulations, the safety regulations that they have to put up with because, you know, it's easier to poison people to make a profit sometimes. Unfortunately, that's the way they see it. Well, you know, if we stop dumping poison in the river, then we can't make a profit. If you give them a choice between that and going to China and paying people pennies per hour, what do you think they're going to take? And what route do you think they're taking? And who's being hurt most by it? The Southerners who supported these policies to begin with. Because the Southerners used to brag about how they were taking these companies down from the North, you know, the Northeast and the Midwest here up in Chicago and stuff like that, because they have more taxes here and we have more more regulations, yes. So they say, well, come on down here and you can have people that work for practically nothing. And we'll hardly tax you at all. In fact, we'll give you government money to subsidize you. And we'll give you all sorts of land and all sorts of benefits. And you can do whatever the heck you want, just as long as you bring a few jobs down. Well, you know what? Now those companies, once those things have been, you know, fulfilled or whatever, and it's time to actually pay something back into the community, guess what they're going? They're going to Mexico. So now all those jobs that the South was proud of, they're losing. To places that are going to do... they're going to pay people even less and have even less regulation. You reap what you sow, ladies and gentlemen. And I was having a discussion in the chat room the other day with a very nice lady who lives in the South, and I know her well. I've known her for a long time. I'm from the chat room. I never met her in person. That's the wonderful thing about humans, that we build communities regardless of the circumstances, right? And online communities can be just as real and engaging as other ones, so long as... you know, you keep it real, as the new people say, as the young people say. But, you know, she was upset about some of the comments I was making about the South, and I was like, look, I don't hesitate to point out that I lived in the South for a very long time, and I think there are a lot of wonderful, intelligent people who live down there. But you know what? The people who run the show down there are not those wonderful, intelligent people. You have the racists, and you have the bigots, and you have the ignoramuses, and you have the morons who don't recognize that a lot of their success came from New Deal liberal policies. Rural electrification, Tennessee Valley Authority. Yes, yes, there were people who were displaced from their homes because they had to flood some areas to build the dams to provide electricity to the South. Could you imagine what the South would be like if there was no electricity? They certainly would not have the voting power that they have now, because, quite frankly, without electricity, there's no air conditioning. And I guarantee you that many people who are living in the South right now, who moved there from the Northeast to get away partly from the cold weather, but also partly from, you know, crowded conditions, and I can understand that because that's what my family did, they would leave in a heartbeat if there was no air conditioning. I guarantee you that 100%, because, you know, we had circumstances where we lost power, and you do not want to lose power in the South. You don't want to lose air conditioning in the summer in the South. No way. It's bad enough here in Chicago. I mean, I didn't realize how hot it gets in Chicago in the summer. It gets hot in the summer. Granted, they don't crack 100. That's very rare, but it does get hot here. And it also gets very, very cold in the winter. But when you sit there, and it's like the flat earth type, you know, where you look at it indirectly, especially if you live in a place like Montana or Kansas, and I've lived in Montana, and I can see where you can get that impression that the world is flat, because, well, it looks flat, doesn't it? But sometimes you have to step back further to see. And if you're not taking that step back, then you're not seeing it. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't want to look at it. They just want to look at their own personal situation. And a lot of people who make money, unfortunately, feel that way a lot of times, too. Well, things are going well for me, therefore they're going well for everybody. It doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. Have we got the end of the show coming up here? What do we got? We got about 1 minute left, Agnes. You know, I got to put the timer on this thing. We got about 1 minute left here. It's just, you know, I look at stuff and I look at the priorities. Oh, let me do this because, you know, I forgot to do this yesterday and I'm sorry. We got Mark Levine coming up next on the Head On Radio Network. And we've got, who else? Who's after that? Guy James is on after that, right? And then later on tonight we have Bob Kincaid, of course, the great Bob Kincaid on the Head On Show from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 6 to 9 my time. And Head On has a great network and I am so happy and so proud to be a part of this wonderful organization. And, you know, we're always trying to make things a better world and bringing a voice to people who generally have no voice. And unlike the right-wing stuff, we are not confrontation radio. We are conversation radio. We are the voice of the Enlightenment, which the Bush administration is trying to destroy. We are the voice of reason as opposed to the voice of hatred and the voice of division. We are the voice of unity. And we speak up for people who have no voice. The working person in this country who doesn't get to hear his real complaints. The ones who all they get to hear about are the rednecky types like the Jeff Foxworthy talks about, who has the nerve to imply that it's only Southerners who go out and fight this country's wars and do things. That's a lie. I'll be back tomorrow, filling in again for Dr. Bill. And in the meantime, here's Mo Jones. And I hope you enjoyed the show, and I enjoy doing it, and we'll be back tomorrow. This is Joe Vecchio. We gone!
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Do you think that you should have a right to choose who you marry? Do you think you should have a choice in who is your husband and wife? Who is your life partner? Or is this a decision that should be made by the state? By the government? Maybe by your church? Maybe by your parents? In 2 weeks and a day, Virginians won't be able to vote on whether some Virginia citizens will have a right to marry and others will never be able to marry. Now, in Virginia, a two-tier system of law is nothing new. After all, Jim Crow existed for more than 100 years. With majority support, the clear majority of whites felt that blacks should be second-class citizens. Blacks didn't think so, but they were outnumbered. So Virginia has a long history of discrimination. But even in the times of Jim Crow, discrimination has never been written into the Virginia Constitution. Still, in 15 days, the voters of Virginia will have a chance to vote yes on the Virginia Marriage Amendment, thus permanently enshrining in the Virginia Constitution that straights get some rights and gays get less rights. I frankly have a hard time understanding that decision, but my guest here, Phil Griffin, is a spokesman for Virginians for Marriage, and you know I'll be putting to him some tough questions. And if you want to call in and ask questions yourself, you're always welcome to do so. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Thanks for coming here on the Inside Scoop.
Thanks for having me.
I know I'm going to ask you some tough questions, so I appreciate you're willing to come here and face them. So let me just ask this basic question.
Sure.
Should every Virginian have a right to decide if they want to marry or not?
Well, I think right now all heterosexual men and women